So this is our open Q&A session. I'm actually really glad we only have like 10 people here because we get to go deeper on some of these questions and ask some probably stronger questions and that kind of thing. And also that means that we did a good job of deciding what breakouts to have. So when the Q&A is huge, it's like, oh, man, like maybe they didn't need that. All right, so this is good. So we're going to have a microphone that gets passed around. I know this is a small group, but the biggest thing is we want to record this for the future. So if you ask a question, you don't have to take every single little note. You can kind of go listen to it later online. And yeah, I think that's about it for now. So let me get started by praying, and then I will have everyone introduce themselves and go from there. So Lord, we thank you that you are a God that loves answering questions. And where there are so many religions and worldviews that shy away from questions and tell you just to believe, that's not who you are. You're a God that loves to show proof even just in the world around us for everything that you are and everything that you do. And you love to just sit and listen to your kids and give us these truths of the world around us. So Lord, we thank you for who you are and the fact that that's the center of this. So, Lord, bring some stuff to our minds, even as we're like, well, I don't have anything that I can think of or whatever. I pray that you would bring up things in our minds that we've had over the last year or two and different things in our lives that we've been struggling with so that we can, as a church together, find out the answer to it. Lord, we love you. Amen. All right, so my name is Yale Wall. I'm the lead pastor of Living Faith Church. I've been in ministry for, I don't know, like 10 years or something like that, whatever. But ultimately, I just love Jesus, and I'm a firm believer that any person in the church can invest in any other person in the church. And we have, I think, far too much value put on people with the title pastor, and we should have a lot more value put on people who are solid, just followers of Jesus. So I've specifically not asked any pastors to be on this panel today on purpose. I'm here kind of by default, and I'll try to answer less questions than normal. But I wanted to hear from just regular people, because we're all just regular people who are following Jesus, that I think there's a lot of wisdom on this panel. So I wanted to kind of give us a minute or 30-second overview of who you are, of what your mission field is, and kind of just your background in following Jesus. Give us like a 30-second testimony, and then a minute, or 30-second testimony, 30-second what your mission field is. How about that? Cool? Who wants to start us off? Oh no, these are all different. Three different types of mics.
Well, all three of them.
Now?
Nope.
Okay. No, somebody else go.
Push the button.
What did I do?
No, hit the button.
Okay.
The yellow button?
Turn it so there's no yellow. Yeah, now that's good.
Wait. Oh, it's working.
So it's confusing. That one, the button is a mute button. This one, the button is a turn on button. And one of them has a switch. Because we are too poor to buy mics all at the same time. So we buy them as they... Yeah. So it is.
So now
it is.
It's working.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I am Holly Kasaboom. I guess, I grew up in church, but I trusted Jesus at 16 and have been like stumbling along after him since then. I now am a staff wife. Chad is on staff in our church, and so that, and raising four kiddos, and we homeschool, so we've got our youngest is four. He is at the Mother's Day out in our church 3 days a week, but the other three are home. Keeps me pretty busy.
Awesome. And Chad is the executive pastor, right, is the title. And how big is the staff at Shades? How many people?
We employ about 160 people.
About how many? 160? Jeez, I thought it was way less than that. Okay. How many full-time people are, like, on the... Okay, so 75 people. So, so he pastors the amount of people, so just people in our church... Chad pastors that many pastors, so that many leaders. So You can imagine the amount of stress and strain on his wife. And from everything that Chad has said, she handles it like a champ. So we're excited to hear what you have to input in that. Cool. Daniel?
My name is Daniel Wiss. I grew up in a little town, North Alabama, and a small little church, 200 people. So you can imagine the day I stepped into Shades Mountain. And the day I came, there's no stealth, go to a class and join the church. You walk straight to the front, and you stand before all, 2,000, 1,500 people. But anyway, gave my life to Christ when I was 17. Went through college trying to figure out what that is, what this following after Christ means, and landed in Birmingham after school, and I've been a member of Shade since 2008. Started off in the kids, student kind of ministry, and recently I've been serving with the men's ministry with Brent and Mark, who are here as well. So,
awesome. Harriet?
I'm Harriet Smith. I love Jesus, and I love music, and I'm so thankful that he's given me the opportunity to play for him now. I was raised in the church, and then I ran just as hard as I could, just the opposite way, for a long time. And praise God, he called me back. And that was an experience in itself. I play at a little church now. It's a little church in the middle of Louisville, Kentucky, in what they call the ghetto. It's an area where the projects had just been torn down, but it is full of broken people, and I'm proud to call them my family. I love them.
That's great.
That's all that.
That's awesome. All right, so that's the group you're working with. So this is the open Q&A, so when we say open, we mean literally any question you want to ask. If it is something that is something that's not appropriate to talk about in the big group, then still ask it, or you can text it. And I would love to sit down with you later and talk through it, and get a pastor who's here to walk with you, whatever, through that. But really anything goes. So does anyone have a question loaded and ready?
I'm going to take advantage of the fact that I start with the mic and in control of the mic and be the first to ask a question. How do you lead or pastor people that are struggling with something that you are currently also struggling with without feeling like a hypocrite? And I'm thinking specifically depression, but to open that into other things, yeah, how do you do that?
That's a great question. Who wants to start us off?
Wow. I started deep, sorry.
I mean, I don't know that I have like the practical, like, this is what this looks like, but I think, you know, you mentioned depression. I think when you are dealing with that, it makes it easier for you to understand and relate to what those other people are dealing with. I think the Lord allows us to go through things that are difficult in our own lives because he's been able to use those things as we minister to other people. So, you know, I guess I would say if that's it, like, don't feel like that doesn't make you hypocritical. It just makes you able to empathize.
I would point back to, or I would ask the question of, what is the definition of hypocrisy? Because I feel like in our culture, we often think of being hypocritical like it's not being perfect at something and talking about it. Like, I know how much $1 million is worth, but I've never seen it. I've never held it. I don't know. Like, whether I'm poor or rich, I know what $1 million is. And whether you are going through depression or not, you know what it is, and you can see the biblical answer for going through it. I think there's a difference between pretending to be free from something and saying, yeah, do this also, and saying, look, I'm also broken and in this, but I know the right answer. Like, I know biblically where it's at, and I know how to go after it, but I'm also going after it. I don't think that's hypocrisy at all. I think that's being real. But, yeah, don't pretend that you know all the answers and lead them into where you're also going, and it's okay. I think you can lead from behind if you're doing it well.
Anything to add to that?
Very good.
Okay. Does that answer the question? Cool. All right. Any other questions?
Okay. So I grew up in the church, and I feel very at home in church culture, and, like, you know, the people that are closest to me are in the church. And I honestly, I have trouble making friends outside of the church, but that's an issue that I have that I at least know how to work on. Right now, I am struggling with not liking church people very much, not like the ones that I know and see every week. but like people that I've met a few times and are friends with on Facebook, I've had a couple of really bad interactions recently, and just some without even interaction. It's just like, okay, I need to unfollow this person because I get angry every time I see their posts. And, like, larger trends of things the church does that are really destructive. And I'm struggling with how to... You know, like, I know we're all broken people. What do?
Yeah, so just to reiterate, make sure I'm getting the question right. It's how do you love people in the church when they frustrate you, more or less. Okay. Harriet, you want to take that one on for us?
Why? Because I ran away? For
No, because you're a very loving person, Harriet.
People are people. That sounds like a very trite answer, but the church is made up of people who call themselves Christians that don't always act like Christians, or what we think Christians need to act like. And it's hard. It's really hard to be involved in a church situation and then see something happen on the outside that, well, I didn't think you would respond like that. Either verbally or with a eye roll or turning around and walking away from somebody that needs a conversation. I think the bottom line is just pray for them. There's a song, of course, and it talks about looking beyond their faults to their needs. And I would be, if I was a betting person, I'd be willing to bet that someone who responds negatively in a situation where it needs a Christian response, they need prayer. They need to be loved on. So they're going to spout off in a negative way to get your attention. Anyway, so... the best thing I can say is pray. Just pray for those people. And love them anyway.
Follow-up question. How do I pray for people that I don't like very much without getting all self-righteous about it and having to just move to a different type topic?
Lord, Serena, and I don't mean this. Lord, I pray for Serena. Love her, Lord. Okay, that just simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. And it doesn't need to be judgmental. You know, what you see that needs fixed or what you think needs fixed in your eyes. It's how the Holy Spirit wants to fix them. And you have to allow them to have the freedom to do that. Back up. Allow him to have the freedom to do that without putting your own thing on it. Does that make sense? Okay.
That's great. Yeah, let me rephrase the question a bit more and get it bigger, because I think that was great, but I want to hear from you guys too. How do you deal with difficult people in the church? Like, because I think that's the core of this is not necessarily your church, but also your church, but also, you know, just the church as a whole. How do you deal with difficult people? What?
This is a capital C church.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with difficult people?
I think not just people in the church, but just people in general. A lot of times when I look and I see someone who I might not like or whatever they're doing is creating something in me, I think sometimes it's a common prayer of mine is to ask the Lord to take away those prejudices, those things that that I'm seeing through my own lens. God, show me people the way you see them, and allow me to love them despite kind of how they're maybe their behavior, the life choices or whatnot, because at the end of the day, you know, we're called to speak truth with love. I know that can be a touchy thing, but just the humility that comes from asking the Lord to let me see whoever it is the way you see them kind of brings it into perspective a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, I would agree with that. I think that, and just what you're saying, like, I think there's always this opportunity to change, like, that God wants to work in you through it as well. I find the people that, like, are things that tend to irritate me the most are the sometimes things I see in myself, and so I think it's just... It's a chance for God to work in you too when you are willing to pray that prayer, to pray like, help me to see them how you see them, and even pray like asking God to enable you to love them. I think on our own there are people that are just unlovable. But yeah, I think that God really grows us through those things too. So,
yeah, that's good. I would also add in, don't spend too much time on Facebook. Like, just straight out, like, when I'm on Facebook too much, I just get mad because there's so many stupid people saying stupid things. It's like road rage on steroids with no faces. Like, you can say anything, you can do anything, and there's no repercussions, and it just moves on down the news feed until 10 years later it gets brought up, and then you're like, yeah. It's just like, don't spend so much time reading into that stuff, and when somebody starts an argument, you don't have to respond to it. You can just be like, well, that's dumb. Move on. Like, and I think I can easily get frustrated by trying to, like, fix people instead of letting God fix people. I also think a big part of this is to always keep the gospel... I keep putting my hand over the thing. That's my fault. Always keep the gospel first. That is the main thing. And we get really up in arms about secondary things that we don't necessarily understand. One of my favorite kind of examples of this is I spent a lot of time in England, and most English Christians are very liberal politically. And most American Christians are pretty conservative politically. And most, like, the English people I'll talk to will be like, well, we really care about the poor and we care about helping people and look at all these verses. And then a lot of the American Christians will be like, well, we care about the freedom of religion and we care about abortion and we care about saving. Like, there's all these different things that we care about. So I'm on this side and I'm on this side. And it's like, well, yeah, all those things are great. Like, we're putting these delineating factors in this and separating ourselves for no good reason when we kind of agree on all the same things. And if we keep the gospel first, then a lot of those other things fall into line. and we realize that we have a lot more in common than all these other things that we try to put in. And there's more things that connect us in the church than things that divide us. And if we focus on those things and we try and find common ground first and we try and work with those things, a lot of the other stuff falls into place. And the people that really frustrate us, I think we realize that there's a lot of secondary and lower things down the list that we get frustrated about that are really not worth arguing about. My biggest thing is I just stay off of those things. And when I see frustrating things on Facebook, I try not to take them personally and I just move on, because arguing is not going to help anyway. And I get sucked into that hole more often than I wish I did. So, yeah, but that was a great question. I'm going to finish with one thing. People suck. Let's just land it on that. People suck pretty often. And when we go too far down that hole, we can easily suck right back, you know? So it's good to just kind of let it go sometimes. It's a good question, though.
Very good question, because yeah. You can easily get yourself disillusioned by seeing the negativity, seeing people being people, mm-hmm. and people sucking. Okay, bottom line.
Yeah, I think that's the end of the Q&A. People suck. Yeah.
but
Jesus.
But, there's a big but there.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
But you know what? God loves them. God loves them whether they suck or not. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, we're here to pursue Him. Mm-hmm. And He us.
Yeah.
Ooh, isn't that cool?
Great conversation. All right. People suck. All right. Next question. Ask anything. I mean, microbiology, aeronautics. I don't know. Good question. Mitochondria is not a question. Mitochondria? What?
I was going to ask if you can explain the 11 dimensions.
No. I actually can, but I don't think you want me to go into that.
I've got the mic, so I'll ask a question.
Okay.
It's kind of half-formed, so, like, go with it. I love coming here because you guys recognize the incredible talents that my wife has. And I guess the question is something along the lines of, I think she's amazing, and I want to help bring out her gifts. But in our church, I'm sort of the worship. I'm one of the worship leaders, so she's always serving under me. How do I bring the best out of her gifts? Do I need to step aside sometimes and let her do? Like, how do I, as a loving husband, bring the best out of my wife's gifts? Yeah. Is that a question?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll kick that one off and then hand it off to you guys. I love, like, Autumn and I often go back and forth at different things being each other's spouses. So, like, a lot of times at Living Faith, she's like, I'm Yale's wife. And then I love going to women's conferences that she's leading. I'm like, I'm her husband. And, like, I think it's good that there's times for both of those things. And the place that you always serve and the place that you always are is not going to always be that. And there's different seasons where you're called to something and she's kind of seen as the one with you, and there's hopefully going to be times where it's the other way around. And I think if you're complimenting each other and you're lifting each other up, then it's good that there's differences in those things. But Holly, you want to speak into this a little bit? So let me ask you this question, actually. Sorry, I just kind of threw it out there. So as being Chad's wife, as somebody who is looked at as the pastor of by thousands of people, how do you feel like he honors you in bringing you up with him in that? Hopefully this isn't a bad answer. And if you could speak up a little bit in the mic, too, that'd be great.
I'm just trying to process it, and I think maybe it has to do with like different giftings and different life phases too, because like where we are right now, I facilitate a D group at our church, and I like volunteer, you know, with our kids stuff when they are doing different things, but predominantly my role, my way that I'm serving and thing that I'm doing right now is caring for our family and, like, you know, in the raising of the kids and the supporting him, the place that he's in requires a lot. And so I kind of feel like just for this season, this place that we're in, like, my place is really to support him in that. So I don't know as much how that relates to you being able to lift her up and enable her in her giftings. I would say this, maybe that even that you're aware of it is a big thing, you know, that you are aware of what her gifts are and that you're sensitive to that and that you want to encourage those things and want her to be able to use the gifts that God has given her and support her in that is huge. And so I think you'll be able to do that just by virtue of knowing that and not being, you know, it shows a selflessness in you that you're aware of her and want God to be able to use her in those ways too. I don't know if that really answers exactly what you're asking, but just as an encouragement.
Well, when I first met my wife, I was her boss at work, so that was fun. We weren't married at the time. We were dating.
So you weren't married to your wife when you first met her?
Correct.
Okay, good.
It wasn't instant marriage.
It wasn't arranged?
It wasn't on, cool. On site.
I got her on eBay.
Yeah.
So we I'm sorry, that was totally out of context. We have a friend actually at their church in Leeds who they met on a Christian dating site, and she's like, I wouldn't suggest it, but I met my husband. It was great. But every time anyone asks, how do you guys meet? She's like, I bought him on eBay. And it's my favorite answer. So, but yeah, out of context, that's really bad. All right, go.
We just celebrated 3 years of marriage, and you know, we're still new at this and figuring it out. But I think we're in a season of encouragement for her and helping her find her path and where she falls into place in the community of the church. Overall, she's moved about different areas, Catholic, among many others. So we're in that stage. And so it's constant prayer. You know, it's just seeing things that the Lord allows you to see that you can encourage her with. And kind of point her, you know, at the end of the day, if she, you know, if I'm living and moving and she sees Jesus and he's pointing her through me, then I'm glad to be that conduit, to help her find, whatever that is in the season. So, yeah.
That's great. All right. What's our next question? Yeah. Alu.
Do I need to stand up?
You can if you want to. Okay. Either way, you don't have to. Yeah, great.
Okay, this is more of an interesting question. Have you guys ever like felt God through you, or like through speaking in tongues, or like do like miracles or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah.
Just like, have you ever like felt like truly connected to God or something like that? It could be in worship or.
Yeah, it's a great question. So have you ever felt God through you, like miracles and tongues and that kind of thing? Who wants to start us off?
Yes. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Our church is non-denominational. I guess you could classify us as charismatic. That's a name. Just a name. We do, the Spirit does move. I have to give an example because this was one of the neatest things I ever saw happen. We were just closing out the ministry time, and we have a little lady in our church. I mean, she is the epitome of the elder statesman, okay? Absolutely beautiful lady. sold out to the Lord, has been all of her life. Well, anyway, she walks with a cane. She's elderly. Well, we're closing out the service, and we're in the middle of a ministry song, and it's upbeat, and it's people are responding. All of a sudden, here's Linda. I don't have a cane, but anyway. Here's Linda, and she's going down the aisle. The cane goes up, and she starts running. She starts running around the church. And she comes back and sits down and says, "Ooh, thank you, Jesus." She does not remember doing this. But it was one of the most dynamic things. She's raising this cane, just waving it above her head. So, yes, I have seen the Holy Spirit move in people. We do speak in tongues. If it's not a common thing, I'm going to go speak in tongues today. That doesn't happen. And if anybody tells you it does, they're wrong, I think. Okay? But I feel like if you're in the middle of a ministry time and he gives you the gift to speak, it's a language that only he understands. And there's usually someone in the congregation who can interpret that, and they will do it. Okay? That's my opinion. But I know that they're active through the Holy Spirit.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. I would say, I feel like this is one of those secondary, tertiary, whatever the fourth word is for that, the airy. Is it paraduciary? I don't know. Quaduciary? Is that actually it? I think you just changed my life. All right. I sound so much smarter now if I could pronounce it. I think this is one of those things that's kind of down the line that we put as a big barrier of like, well, if you believe this and you don't believe this, then like it's a big dividing line. I don't think it should be. My number one thing would be never put God in a box and say there's something he cannot do. And when you hear somebody say this is something that God did, like so often our first thought is either, yes, absolutely, that happened, or no, there's no way he could do that. And I don't think either of those answers, either of those things are good ways to come at something like that. Judging what somebody is saying happened or didn't happen, I don't think that's a good way to do it. So I would say, first off, forget about denomination, forget about thought process or what people believe. Like, I would just like look at God, look at the Bible and say, does that match up with what his character is or who he says he is? From there, I would say, personally, I do believe in the gift of tongues, and specifically that, and miracles. I mean, Jesus said that I'll do even greater things through you than because of who's in you, and I believe that that's going to happen. I don't think it's every Monday. I think that's a very different thing. But I'll say the reason, without going too deep into it, the reason that I believe in the gifts of tongues, it says that it will pass away, that prophecy in tongues will pass away. And if you look at the scripture, I believe that just the way that it's laid out, and I can go in deeper with you in this later, actually, you had a sermon about it that went deeper into this. The way that it talks about the verbiage, I think that that is not with the Bible coming out, which a lot of people will say. I think it's with Jesus, and yeah, you can go into that later if you want to go deeper into it. But I do believe in it, but also I think that it's overdone and wrongly done so often that we either swing one way and do it really wrong, or we swing so far the other way and we're like, nope. And I think anything that we do that in the church, there's an issue where we put it so far one or the other way. It's like there's a healthy middle ground for most things, especially when we see it in Scripture. But obviously there's times where we hear people doing some of those things where it's not healthily done and the red flags go off, and that's a good thing. But that doesn't mean that it can never happen. That would be my opinion on it. And again, we probably have different opinions in this room on that and all over the board, and that's a great thing. We should be pushing each other on and sharpening each other and all that. So what do you guys think?
I mean, I've always held that, I mean, you witness that. That's your story. You can share that with us and others, and everyone's story is powerful. It has truth. you know, when I was a younger Christian, just sharing my testimony, trying to come up with this elaborate story when, you know, God just grabbed my heart one Wednesday night. But you know, even in that ordinary, I mean, there's power. So you've got things like this, and then you've got just ordinary, which is a miracle that you know, for anyone, for any person who accepts Jesus. So
I don't know that I really have anything to add. I mean, I think for myself personally, when I think about the Spirit working, you know, in me, I most often feel Him just prompting me, like, you should reach out and call this person. You should text this person. Just kind of that putting someone, bringing them to my mind. And then when I do obey and do that, you know, realizing, oh, there's this thing they're going through or this encouragement that they needed. But I do think that God works in different ways and even in different places. I mean, if you think about, like, believers worldwide, you hear frequently overseas people having totally different experiences. And I think culturally there's so much to distract us that sometimes we don't see the Spirit move or the forces that we fight against in the same ways. And so I think it can look different because of that. Even as you guys were talking, I had this memory of one time that Chad and I went to China to work with some partners there, and we were in their home, and they had a housekeeper, which is, I guess, like traditional that you would have someone come in and help. And so they were sharing through her, translating her story about how she came to know Jesus, and there was a picture on their wall of the Nativity. And she had a dream that the baby in the picture, I'm like getting goosebumps, was talking to her and said, you know, you're going to hear a story about me, and when you hear it, believe it, it's true. You know, and we don't think about, I'll speak for myself. I don't think about God working like that, you know, but He does. Yeah, I think that, maybe that goes back to what you're saying, Yael. Like, just you, I think we try to put things in a box because we like to be able to say, we like to be able to wrap our minds around things. But God is not like that. So,
yeah, that's good. That's really great. I'll also add in one more thing that there's a guy named Jerry Rankin who was the head of the IMB like 3 guys ago. The whole tongues thing is a big debate with the Southern Baptist Convention. There's a lot of people that get really mad about it and really up in arms and that kind of thing. And when he was being, like, inducted or whatever, or offered the job of leading the IMB, they asked him, do you believe in tongues? And he's like, look, sometimes I go into the prayer closet in my room and I just pray for hours, and sometimes things come up that I don't understand, and if you call that tongues, then great, and if you don't, then great. And, like, I love just the vulnerability of that. Like, look, I'm going after God, and whatever happens, happens. If I know it's God, I'm going to believe it because I'm going after Him. And I think there's power in that of not judging other people based on what they call it or what you're thinking or your preconceived notion. And just go after God, man. There's so many things we can get sidetracked with. That's good. Cool. What other questions do we have? That's great. Ask hard ones.
So you said some churches are, like, very on board with the crazy Holy Spirit stuff, and some churches are like, nope. And I grew up in a church that was like, nope, so all this is, like, a little weird and uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
But, like,
there's a lot about God that's weird and uncomfortable for me.
Yeah. So, yeah. But there's one that we do at Living Faith that's not even as weird as speaking in tongues, and still I don't really get it. Mm-hmm. It's just when we, like, stop during worship, and like we did it yesterday, that like ask God to speak this right now and just listen for 2 minutes and He will speak. and I never know what I'm supposed to be listening for in that little short window of being confident that God's going to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. I don't want to talk too much, but let me start this off and then I'll hand it off to you guys. The first time I talked to Autumn on the phone, I didn't really know her voice that well. I knew it was her because I called her, but like I didn't, you know, hear that well. Now she could be in the background 10 feet from the phone whispering, and I'm like, that's my wife in the background because I know her voice. And a lot of hearing God is taking time and years to know his voice. And the more you hear him speak something and you trust him in faith and you see it happen, you're like, yep, that was God, and it's confirmed. And then eventually you pick up the phone and you're like, that's not God. That is great. I'm going with that, you know. But I'm a firm believer that God is pretty much always speaking to us. And if he's ever not, it's because he wants to teach us something in the silence, which is also kind of a form of speaking to us. So when we spend time listening, like if you're not hearing anything, then part of it is we probably just need to keep working on that and conditioning ourselves to hear that. But I think part of it too is that maybe he's not answering the way we want to hear. Like a lot of this is just like a lifetime of learning how to hear God. And I feel like in my life, as soon as I figure it out, he changes the game and raises me up in another area that I didn't even see coming. So listening to him is not always in a 2 minute he's going to speak something, and maybe somebody else is hearing something for you, and you can pray that God would speak through somebody else. Yeah. Somebody else.
God speaks in so many different ways. Sometimes it's a verbal thing. Sometimes he speaks to us through other people, even people that suck. Okay. But he does. I prayed about something. It's been several years ago. And I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and never got one word one way or the other. So I went ahead and did what I thought was right. And I heard this voice say to me, that's not what you asked for. And I said, but Lord, I asked for that. This is what I asked for. And the minute I said it, I remembered how I asked and how I prayed, and it wasn't. He said, I can't answer your question. He gave me what I needed, not what I wanted. Okay, I wanted something completely different. But he was right. I did not ask him. The right way. And he made it known to me that I did not ask him right. That's not the way I asked it. But anyway.
Yeah. Off of that, I'll quote what Chad said 2 hours ago, where he said, if I got everything I wanted, I'd be in a world of hurt.
Yes.
That's a great line.
Yes.
So sometimes we ask for things, and even just knowing the answer is not what we really need. Yeah, absolutely. No, hand them back. You're good.
I think that, like, just sometimes we, especially if we grow up in an environment where hearing from God is not something that we're necessarily called to do by those who lead us or those who disciple us, that we end up spending more time questioning, is God speaking? Am I hearing right? Than we are actually being silent before the Lord. And then in turn, when you, in ways that you know you have heard God speak to you before, know that he'll probably speak to you that way again. So instead of like questioning, can I hear, am I hearing, is it right? Just kind of like lean into it. And if it doesn't contradict scripture, if God's not contradicting himself, just lean into it and go for it and see kind of what happens. And I think sometimes I just get so lost in my headspace of like, is that you or is that me? You know what I mean? That I'm not willing to just say, okay, I think that is you. I've asked you to speak. You're a good father who doesn't give snakes to your kids. You give good things, right? So I'm gonna lean into it. Does that make sense? Because I totally get your question. I grew up in an environment where I think like hearing from the Lord was not a thing. I think I said that earlier today. I love that about Yale and Autumn. They cultivate that environment that just says, God, we want to hear from you because we know you speak. You know, but when you aren't encouraged in that way, it's like, am I hearing the right thing? Is it the right time? Is it me? Is it you? When we may just be overcomplicating it in some ways. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay. That's great. I think we got time for one more question. And if you don't ask it quickly, it'll be a yes or no. But we've got like 1 or 2 minutes.
I'm trying to think of how to phrase it. I know I want to ask it, but I don't know how to put it. When we are living very closely with people, whether in accountability or just as deep friendships, and we're seeing things, maybe not everything, but certain things that they are going to the people who disciple them and are getting just awful advice, unbiblical or just like things that throw up your red flags, and you take that to your, you know, your very close friend, you take that to them in accountability and in friendship, and you try to say, I don't think that's a good idea, I really don't think this is a good idea, but they listen to the person who disciples them anyway. How do we continue to press into that? How do we, like, where do we take that? Yeah, I'll leave it there.
I just continue to lean into the truth, and press into that, you know, and sharing that with them. Gosh, I'd spent 16 years of my life listening to the world. So it took me a while, to start looking towards Jesus, and just be patient in that. And just continually, share the truth. You know, just pray that over them. Ask God to continue to reveal himself in that situation. And in those circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the same. Just, you speak the truth. You show them in the scripture. If you feel like it's something that's unbiblical, you know, show them where it's wrong. But at the end of the day, you can't change anybody's mind. So it's just going to be being faithful to speak the truth to them and then, you know, praying that, yeah, that God will do that work.
Yeah, that's good. I would also, I'll use a real life example because Evan won't mind me picking on him. Evan one time was dealing with something. He's like, well, you told me to do this 6 months ago. And I was like, dude, that's terrible advice. I'm so sorry. Like, so I think every single one of us can dish out terrible advice, whether we don't know the whole story or we're just not thinking or we're just at a place where we're growing in that too. I would, if you're in community with the person who gave them the bad advice too, I would go to that person. And I'd say, hey, like, just because I love this person and they told me this, like, that threw up some red flags in me, just to be vulnerable and be real. What were you thinking in that? Like, what was your, maybe not say what were you thinking, but what was your thought process? Can you bring me into that? Because it might be that you don't understand the whole story. It might be that he's like, hey, he told me all this stuff in confidence, so I can't go in it deeply, but trust me, that's the way to go. Like, it might be that kind of thing. Or it might be they're like, yep, that was dumb. Like, if we're actually in community together and actually living life together and open to being corrected, like, I mean, I'll even tell you straight out, if it was me, please tell me. Like, be like, that was stupid advice. Like, if I say something in a sermon that's wrong, it's going to happen. Call me out on it so I can repent, move on, and learn from it myself, too. I think we're all capable of giving bad advice. So, does this go to 4, 350 or till 4? Okay, cool. So I guess we are officially done.